I don't know. He's looking at me, sort of, kind of.
Are we working now?
Yeah, we're working now. Isn't that amazing? Time to make the donuts. Would you pay attention over there?
The show's on?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, for true?
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I could hear through the intercom. I could hear you talking.
Didn't you hear that?
No.
Start
that then I looked over and there's nobody in the room. And, you know, sometimes you do talk with yourself.
I do.
But then all of a sudden it occurred to me, oh, cripe, we're on the air.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, Raj, how are you? Long time no see. It's been, what, 2 days?
I'm glad I could join you.
Yeah. This is true. I know. It's the Corwin Warbler. I know the answer. Yeah.
You were listening Saturday morning.
I was. I love that thing, man. One of these days I'm going to take it from you. I may ask for one for Christmas.
There you go. That was the trivia question in Birdwatch. You had to identify the Kirtland Warbler by song.
That's right.
And second caller got it.
Yeah, they were fast.
Yeah.
They really were. I was impressed.
Yeah.
Well, this is the trifecta, 590 from KGL.
Whole new week.
I'm telling you. We're just not another full week. Roger's favorite thing is going to happen on Thursday.
Tiger game in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And then it's the All-Star break next week, and you're every week, every day. No baseball until Friday.
Okay.
So, just so you know.
I got a full week to look forward to next week.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Anyway, the fun part is that you can weigh in on things at 382-4280 or 1-877-382-4280. And you can also text in or, these smarmy and snarky texts that we love so well.
Yeah.
At 80373. And we're going to try it again. We'll try to give away the... after all the reviews of the Lone Ranger, I don't know if anybody's out there wants to see it. Although Rick Shields saw it, and he said it was fine.
Yeah.
So you may not want to
listen to the critics. I have not seen it, but it is my intention.
Well,
I have to admit, I'm sort of a Johnny Depp fan.
Well, here's the thing. You know, the movie, you could always hear that it's bad. But if you get free passes, is it really that bad?
Well, we'll let them tell us.
This is true. So be ready. We'll do a fastest finger sometime between now and, let's say 4 o'clock. We'll do it between now and 4.
Okay.
So, anyway, that's how you get in. And we have some other stuff to let you know about. Gas and groceries is coming back.
Oh, speaking of gas, finish your thought, but remind me when you're done.
Well, I was just going to say that gas and groceries is coming back, and we'll let you know soon. Where Lori is going to be and when she is going to be there, so you have your chance to win. So, you ready to start the show? I want to talk about gas first.
Oh yeah, gas prices are going up. $3.69 seems to be the new price at all Speedway stations. And so, if you can find gas less expensive than $3.69, fill your car up, folks.
I filled my car up 30 cents less yesterday in Grand Rapids.
$3.39. I thought I got a bargain at $3.48 yesterday out on Westmidge.
Most stations were $3.48 or $3.49. I just happened to be driving down the highway, and it's 68th Street. $3.39. So I stopped and I got filled up. It was I'm good.
You know, I have Scott ancestry, and even if I only need a quarter of a tank, if I came across $3.39, I go in and fill up just to deprive OPEC of 30 cents.
There you go.
There's no sense to it. It's an emotional thing.
Well, as long as it works. We have a text, by the way, on whether it's bad or not, if it's free, we'll read that after we start the show.
Thank you.
Robert Merrill, opera star with the Metropolitan Opera in New York.
Got a voice.
Met. Oh, doesn't he, though? Oh, good stuff. So Chris the Trekkie texted. I love this. This is a comment of the day so far. Yes, it can still be bad if it's free. I want my hour and a half back for the free tickets to Scary Movie. You know, I got to side with him.
I can't remember the name of the movie. This was years ago. But I paid, and halfway through it, I just got up and walked out. So, yes, a free movie can be bad.
Yes.
But I'm going with an open mind to The Lone Ranger.
Okay.
You know, White House Down is getting bad reviews.
I've heard
general.
A lot of people like that movie.
And it's not a classic, but it's good
entertainment.
Summer throwaway movie, good entertainment. It kept you engaged in it. A lot of action. It moved along. It wasn't a movie that's going to change your life.
No.
But it was good fun.
Yeah, sometimes you just check your brain at the door and you want to go see a movie.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start the show here. We're going to talk about something other than Detroit and Medicaid expansion.
Okay.
Man. Let me repeat that. That's not sinking in.
Man?
No. We're going to start the show...
Without talking about
Detroit or Medicaid expansion.
But the question is, can we go a whole day without talking about Detroit or Medicaid expansion?
I've seen the list.
Yeah.
Oh. No. But it's going to be
interesting. So we're just not going to do it first.
No, we're just not going to do it first.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Oops, I looked. That's all right. It's a short topic, though, Raj, so keep an open mind. All right, so everyone knows that Michigan has done very well. And you got to give the state legislature its due, and Governor Snyder, for that matter. They've done great things with budget and balancing the budget and trying to get, you know, more money. We have a little bit of a surplus and whatnot. Well, they're trying to look for more money.
Oh, Jim, but we did it by... giving tax breaks to big companies and taxing people who are living on pensions.
Yeah, but right now I don't care about that because that's all going to probably go bye-bye anyway.
But I do care about
it.
Well,
I know you care.
And so you're saying that they've done such a good job. They have balanced the budget, but on the backs of retired school teachers at the expense of them to serve corporations.
The big thing is that they've been able to get the budget approved around June 1st or thereabouts, because I remember the years when we'd be going into October and they couldn't figure out what was going on. So,
they can't, because it's all Republican. They got a Republican governor, they got a Republican House, and a Republican Senate.
You are dissing my optimism here. Got to let me have a little ray of light there, dude. Okay. Well, the reason I'm saying this is that the one part of the budget, which probably is the behemoth, is the Department of Corrections budget.
Yeah.
I mean, it exceeds $2 billion with a B. So lawmakers in the state of Michigan and Governor Snyder are looking at changing prison sentencing guidelines, which were last updated and made a little bit stronger about 15 years ago. Now, the reason they want to do this is because they would like to reduce the State Department of Corrections budget.
Who did that 15 years ago, Jim?
I'm guessing that...
which political party... put a lot of time into minimum sentences and three times and you're out. What are some of the other buzzword terms we heard back then?
If I had to, let me see, that would be 1988. No, it'd be 1998.
I was there for that.
That would be Governor Engler.
Hello? So the Republicans...
Or as I like to refer to him, Fat Boy. I'm sorry.
Don't make fun of fat people.
No. Him I will.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because I have... He did something to me every year that I was a community ed director that was personal.
No,
so I have
I have
a personal axe to grind against our rotund former governor. But
and
please, I digress. Go ahead.
The Republicans created this mess with their minimum sentences, three times you're out, This country has a greater percentage of its population locked up than China does. There's no other country in the world that comes even close to us for the number of people as a percentage of population that we have locked up. Even in real numbers, China and the United States are comparable, and they've got three times the population that we do. Is there something wrong with Americans, or is there something wrong with the sentencing guidelines we're using?
Well, I'm guessing a little of both, but here's the axe that I, again, another axe I have to grind. It's Monday. I'm grinding a lot. There is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, is Senator Rick Jones. We've had him on the show. He's a Republican from Grand Ledge. And he, I believe, has a preconceived notion that whatever guidelines changes need to be made, he's not going to agree with them because he believes that, as he put it, quote, most of the inmates in Michigan prisons are pretty dangerous. Well, let me explain something to you, Senator Jones, okay? We're not talking about changing the guidelines for violent crimes, you tool. What we're talking about is taking some nonviolent crimes and making them a little less penalty-ridden, maybe. Is that the... And I'm not saying you're going to let people run free in the streets, but there's got to be some sort of common ground in here where common sense can be used, and I really don't appreciate the guy who's in charge of the Senate Judiciary Committee coming out ahead of time with this, or I've already made my mind up. That's crap. Seriously, whether we be Republican or Democrat, that's crap. You can't do that. So I'm hoping whatever guidelines the Law Review Commission, which is headed up by a Lansing attorney, is going to take a broad data-driven look at what can be done to lower prison spending and reduce the return rate of prisoners. And I think that is a noble cause. All right, so look at it and see what you can do. And if you can reduce the amount of money that we're spending on Michigan prisons and do it in a positive way, then I would expect Senator Jones to keep his mouth shut and look at it with an open mind. Don't go into this saying, well, most of the people I know that are in prison are dangerous people. Well, what kind of dumb statement is that? And he can come on the show and we can talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. I'm not saying he's dumb. I just said it's a dumb statement. I think that when you're going to, if you're going to go into this, you got to go in with an open mind because this is the most money-laden part of the Michigan budget. And if it does get changed, it will not be, as Roger said, on the backs of retirees or those who really are giving, you know, businesses a break or how did you put that, please? Because I forgot. On the backs of retirees and something else. Oh, giving businesses breaks.
Oh, yeah, giving businesses breaks on the backs of seniors.
This is going to be totally, totally different. It would be a way to look at everything and say, okay, look, there's, as I've said, a better way to run the railroad. That would be the good thing. I just don't want lawmakers coming up publicly and saying, hey, look, you know, okay, I'll take a look at it, but no, no, this is not the time for but. No, you have to keep an open mind, Republican, Democrat, tree hugger, whatever.
You know, they're supposed to have hearings, and new information is supposed to impact your thinking, and your positions can evolve something new. But we have legislators who go into those with their minds already made up. Why I was distracted... I'm looking for figures on how many of Michigan's prisoners are nonviolent, are there for nonviolent crimes.
Okay.
And I'm finding it for Pennsylvania and New York, but I'm not finding it for Michigan. Your friend in, where is he from?
Senator Jones?
Yeah.
Grand Ledge.
Your friend from Grand Ledge is incorrect that the prisons are full of just violent people. No, they're not. There are lots of low-level drug users. There are drunk drivers. There are parole violators and shoplifters, all at over $50,000 a year that we're choosing to house in state facilities instead of watching them and putting them out in the world where they got to earn some money.
Now, excuse me, and I'm sure a law enforcement person will correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm not mistaken, in the state of Michigan, if you were sentenced to a year or less, you can be sentenced to a county facility, county jail.
That's my understanding.
If it's a year and a day or more, they have to go to a state prison. So, and if I'm wrong, somebody call me and tell me, lawyer or otherwise, or text it or whatever. But I think that's the case. So that would be another thing to look at. I don't know. So,
but you know, the conservatives, when they were putting in all these penalties, who did they think was going to pay for it? It really bugs me that you have people who can't see the result of the actions they're taking. If you lock thousands of people up in prison, you're going to have to increase your prison budget.
Yeah.
And we can't afford it anymore. So what you going to do?
We're going to look at how we put people there. That's what we're going to do. The answer to one of our texter, Jay is incredibly busy today. Every time I pass him, he's got smoke coming off the keyboard. So he's working very hard. So, all right, Raj, we're going to get rid of the Detroit thing right away.
Good.
Like next.
All right.
Okay? We'll get it out of the way so you'll be happy. Okay?
Cool.
All right. It is the Trifecta, 590 WKZL. 590 WKZL, it is the Trifecta, yes.
I have a comment finishing up our previous discussion.
Oh, okay. Well,
is that okay?
Hang on just a second.
Okay.
Trifecta is brought to you in part by Bronson Healthcare Midwest, a new partnership between the area's leading healthcare system and the largest physician group in Southwest Michigan. Go to BronsonHealthcareMidwest.com to learn more. And by Matt Mulder with Keller Williams Realty. When you're ready to buy or sell that home, turn to the real estate expert, Matt Mulder. What's up?
I found what I was looking for
okay.
earlier.
Okay.
Michigan inmates spend an average of 4.3 years in prison, while the national average is just 2.9. That according to a study done by the Pew Charitable Trust. The disparity is even greater among violent criminals, 7.6 years in average in Michigan compared to 5 is the average nationally. Some experts argue longer prison stints do little to deter crime or reduce recidivism, and therefore only swell the corrections department budget. Traditionally, Michigan has kept more people longer, and as a result, we have costs built into our correctional system to accomplish that.
Okay.
And we do sentence people harsher here than the rest of the country does. And I guess if your friend in Grand Ledge can suggest why Michigan prisoners are more dangerous than the prisoners in the rest of the country, I would be willing to listen to his logic.
Well, we may have to contact him over that.
Okay.
One final text, then we'll call time out on it. To fix prisons, bring up reading level of inmates, drug help, and mental health needs. Mental health, again, bringing, you know, coming up again. The studies are in. I guess there's a Harvard public health study. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mental health is going to play a big role in this and a few other things, too.
We replaced the state hospital with prisons.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that'll be
how was
the
world
argument.
Better off?
Yeah. So, all right, here's your quick Detroit, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Detroit mayoral candidate Mike Duggan was taken off the ballot. Now he's back on with a write-in campaign that started on the 4th of July. He's reinvigorated. He's going all around talking to people, and he believes that he has a pretty good chance of trying to shake up the population of Detroit and make him the new mayor of Detroit.
Do you know how many write-in candidates have been successful in the history of Earth?
Not many.
Yeah, 3, I think.
Yeah.
I'm making that up.
He's going to give it a try. Now, in another announcement for Detroit, did you know one of our favorite council members resigned?
Oh, no. Who?
Kwame Kenyatta.
Really?
Yes. So now Charles Pugh, who was the president, was fired by Kevin with a Y. And then Gary Brown, who was the president pro tem, and council member Kwame Kenyatta have also resigned. So it's been about one-third of Detroit City Council.
What's Kwame? What's he doing now?
I don't know.
We got to keep up with the guy.
He's not. We know about the other Kwame.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be in one place for quite some time.
Yes, and indeed, he will, and he'll have his wardrobe taken care of.
Without ice in his cell.
And without ice
exercise equipment. Appropriate exercise equipment.
Appropriate exercise equipment, yes, indeed.
And a golf game. He wants a Wii, too, I heard.
Oh, okay.
I'm making that up.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me. Not at all. All right, so we're going to ask the eternal question here, Roger.
And it is?
Hypocrisy or inconsistency? There's your choice. Which one is it?
What's the locale for this?
Oh, Lansing. What else? Need you ask, my friend. Come on. Back after CBS and local news, it is the Trifecta 590 WKZO. The Trifecta. It's Roger and Jim, the dynamic duo today. Show brought to you in part by Bronson Healthcare Midwest, a new partnership between the area's leading healthcare system and the largest physician group in Southwest Michigan. Go to BronsonHealthcareMidwest.com to learn more. So I was looking at the radar.
Yes.
And it would appear that the rain has gone and passed us by, maybe. We'll have to talk to Bob for sure, but I'm thinking that we'll be okay now. On the bad side of this, it's headed towards Cleveland, where the Tigers are.
Well, maybe it'll keep them from losing.
What? No. Max is pitching tonight. Max.
Oh. Who's Max?
Max Scherzer.
Oh.
Yeah, he's...
Is he good?
Like 13-0. Yeah.
How come they lost yesterday?
Because Doug Fister gave up 4 runs in the first inning.
Ah. Yeah. Couldn't overcome that.
Couldn't overcome it. It was tough, you know. So. All right, so you're going to go see the Lone Ranger, right?
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to give 3 people a chance to see the Lone Ranger.
3 people and a friend.
That's right. 3 people and a friend. Yeah, 3
so
pairs.
6 people
six
are going to go to the movies.
6 people actually are
going
to go on us, yeah. But you have to know the magic word to text 80373.
Are you going
to
tell them, or do they just have to guess?
Nope. But I am going to tell you that along with the magic word we're going to give you, you must send your first and last name. If it's your first name or if it's your last name, we're just going to go right on past you.
Okay.
Okay? We have to make sure that first and last name, okay?
What's the secret word?
Tonto. T-O-N-T-O. Tonto. I should have just let him try to spell it the right way.
Yeah.
Tonto. Text Tonto right now to 80373. 3 winners, and we'll announce them as soon as we get them. So need to text Tonto and your first and last name.
Now, when they pick up their tickets, do they have to wear a crow on their head?
No.
Oh, okay.
They do not have to wear a crow on their head. No. But, you know, if you want to, you could, I suppose, if you wanted to. But, no, you do not have to wear a crow. Or the makeup, either, for that matter. Or the makeup. So
we had a caller and said, what about the people who don't text? And I said, we do sometimes.
We do?
Yeah.
We do
and
sometimes.
This time we just chose to do it by fastest finger.
Yes. So.
But
we
last
our,
week
we
I
have
recall
our winners, by the way.
Doing one where I took phone calls.
Yes. We have our winners, by the way.
Okay.
So. You wanna? If it's texting, it's in the system. You never know. I might get it, but we have our 3 winners.
Okay.
So we'll announce those in a little bit. We're going to talk to Bob in a few minutes. I mentioned gas and groceries.
Yes.
Groceries and gas. Back. Lori is going to be at the Woodbridge Hardings. That's the one in Portage on Center Street. On Thursday, this Thursday, July 11th, during our show. Oh, wait a minute. No. That won't be our show. Because baseball will be there. But Lori's going to be out at the Woodbridge Hardings, 3 to 5. Gas and Groceries is back. Bring your best guest to try to win the groceries from Hardings and a gas card, too.
And that gas is becoming increasingly valuable minute by minute.
I'm telling you.
Since Speedway appears to be raising the going price for gas in Southwest Michigan to $3.69. Huh, the post 4th of July bump up in gas prices.
Yeah, who knew?
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, is gas going up where you're at too?
It's kind of held steady here in the last week or two.
Okay.
And I was hearing, I actually read a story last week about how it was coming down.
Yeah.
I guess that's over.
Yep.
Yeah, in a hurry.
Yep.
So how was your fourth?
Very nice. How about you folks?
The weekend was very, very nice. Yeah. The weekend was a lot more fun. The fourth was okay, but the weekend was a lot of fun.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, Bob, we've been getting a lot of rain.
Indeed.
I'm just thinking.
No, tell us how you really feel.
We're getting a lot of rain. There's hardly a day goes by that we don't get an inch or more.
Right. Well, even on days when it doesn't rain as much as some other days, there's always that threat of rain.
Yeah.
And having said that, interestingly enough, it's still been scattered in nature. I talk about, and again, I hate to keep referencing the airport, but that's all I have to go by where numbers are officially kept. They've not reported any measurable rain since July 2nd.
Well, I got news for them.
At the airport here in Kalamazoo?
I'm not counting today. I'm prior to today, but just to trace.
Wow.
Actually, even today, only 100th. Yesterday, a trace. Saturday, zero. Friday, a trace. 4th of July, nothing. July 3rd, trace. July 2nd, 6,500s. But all the others is basically next to nothing.
Saturday night got over an inch at my place.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't live at the airport.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Apparently not.
Yeah. So what's our word for the day, Bob?
The word is snail.
Snail?
Right. Snail's
pace. Oh, I know where this is going.
Snail's pace. And I'm not actually referencing dampness and moisture that snails might seem to appreciate, but just the fact that we see this every summer, jet stream winds in the upper atmosphere relax, and weather systems tend to move much more slowly. See, it's more effective when I speak slowly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everything just kind of inches along at a snail's pace, and that's exactly what's happening here. There is a front that will spell relief from the humidity, spell relief from the daily thunderstorm threat, but it's going to take until Wednesday night to cross the area, even though it is already moving through the northern plains. In the spring or in the fall or any other time of year, we get a front in the northern plains to be here within 36 hours. It won't be here until 2.5 days, basically.
It'd be off the east coast by Wednesday night.
It would just sweep right along, but it's just going to inch its way along. And until it comes through, we're stuck with the mugginess. That could be the word today. Could have been. Mugginess, warmth, humidity, and the daily threat of thunderstorms.
Okay, I don't mind that so much.
Bob, how about the wannabe hurricane heading toward Barbados?
Yes, we have Chantal. That is likely to strengthen, albeit slowly, over the next day or so. Tropical storm status right now could come close to hurricane strength by Wednesday or tomorrow night and Wednesday. But then it's going to have a lot of things going against it. For starters, it's moving quickly. Just got done talking about snail space, but this system is moving quickly. Fast movement tends to inhibit development. Number two, it's going to move into an area with upper level winds that are less favorable for development down the road. And number three, it's going to be interacting with some land. Potentially Puerto Rico and Cuba down the road, and that will inhibit development. So it may not quite have enough going for it to become a hurricane, though it will be a close call. At the very least, it'll be a big rainmaker across those islands, and it's moving west or west-northwest right now. It'll start to turn more northerly at the end of the week if there's anything left of it, because, again, I just described how it's got a lot of things that could take it apart. But
yeah.
If there's anything left of it, it could be a threat to South Florida by Friday or Saturday.
That's
you
why
know,
I asked.
When it's that weak and it hits, you know the mainland of the United States, is there any guidelines as to maybe how far in the storm will go to take rain? I mean, is it going to be just centralized around the southeast, or would it run up the seaboard and have fun?
You have to take into account the storm size and whatnot, and it's tough to say what size it'll be, but if and when it makes it to Florida. And then you also have to take into account where the upper level winds take it from there and so on and so forth and whether or not it interacts with any other existing fronts that are already over the U.S. A lot of things come into play.
Okay. So we just keep an eye on it.
Right.
Yeah.
See what
I don't
happens.
Think it's ever a weather maker for Michigan, if that's what you're asking.
No,
because it very easily could turn north fast enough that it doesn't even quite reach as far west as Florida, let alone inland across the U.S.
If it's going to even try to get up this far, it's got to be a pretty good sized hurricane. Doesn't
I'll
it?
Say.
Now,
we
I
know
mean,
that can happen. I'm
I
not
mean,
saying
oh,
that
no,
can't happen
has.
With storms.
I know before.
We've seen it happen in the past, but don't I don't think Chantal's the one to do it.
But don't those storms have to come out of the Gulf?
Usually come out of the Gulf or the Caribbean.
Yeah.
I love going geek first thing in the week.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, it's just way too much fun.
Yeah.
I do not like the fact the dew point is going to be up there, Bob, but you know what? It's July in Michigan, and I need to accept it.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time of year. If you're going to have warmth, the one thing I can say with the threat of showers and storms every day, it's going to keep a lot of clouds around, limited sun. That will limit how hot it can get. We're not talking about searing heat and 95 and 98 degrees or anything along those lines. Very muggy, but not necessarily very hot.
I was just outside a few minutes ago. It's actually comfortable out there because we have enough of a breeze that's nice.
Yeah.
And the rain did take some of it away. So.
Yeah, it did.
It is not nice outside.
It is nice.
It's disgustingly humid.
Oh, no. It was nice when I was out there. It really
wrong.
Was.
Yeah.
2.68.
See?
Hasn't hit 70. Once it hits 70, we talk.
68 is bad enough.
No.
Thanks,
See, Bob. I'm
going
to give you the benefit of the doubt.
You're
on
welcome.
This one. Thanks, man.
Have
bye-bye.
A good one.
See ya.
Bye-bye. No, Bob 68
Larson is
close
fine.
To 70. 68
is fine.
No, it is.
Fine. Yes, it's fine. All right. It's good. Don't worry about it. All right, so here we go. You have a choice. You have hypocrisy on one side or inconsistency on the other.
In describing our legislature.
Well, a certain part of the legislature.
Again, what part?
We've talked about this gentleman by the name of Tim Skubick, who writes, he's a politics columnist for MLife.
Yeah.
His first sentence, and I'm going to use the quoting fingers because it's his, at the very least, Senate Democrats are terribly inconsistent. At the very worst, it's a classic example of political hypocrisy. Let me elaborate. When right to work was going and being ramrodded through the legislature by the Republicans, the Democrats screamed bloody murder along with about 12,000 other people.
Mm-hmm.
And Roger, resplendent in his red shirt.
Yep.
Yes. They felt that it was just kind of moving right along without any input from them, that the Republicans were taking advantage of the situation and saying, hey, you know, we need to take a look at this. And the GOP was saying, no, we're just going to send it through. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to now.
Okay.
Governor Snyder demanding that the Senate take up right now his Medicaid expansion bill.
No.
And believe it or not, you know what?
What?
In his corner were some of those same Democrats who felt the right to work ramrod go right over the top of their heads. But. Thank you. Bob's back. The Republicans are saying, no, we got to take a look at this. And the Democrats are saying, no, you don't. Just vote on it and pass it. Does that strike you as a little bit inconsistent?
Different situation.
No, I think you could apply the same principle.
No.
I think you can.
This one, there is a drop-dead date for setting up the exchanges to have them in place by the first of the year. None of these numbskulls in Lansing appear to know what that drop-dead date is, but there is one out there someplace. And this really is a case where the legislature has screwed around so long, there really is a sense of urgency. If somebody up there would do a little research and find out exactly when the drop dead date is,
mm-hmm.
then we can let them play their games. But I think this is a whole different situation than when the Republicans were trying to ram right to work through in a lame duck session under the cover of holidays.
See, I'm looking at it in a different way. I understand the ramrodding through, you know, during the lame duck. But I think that these, you know, Randy Richard Villain, we talked about it on Friday when Chuck Perricone was here. His big thing was there's one word involved, and that's timing. Timing is everything in this. I can't imagine that these lawmakers don't know the drop-dead date. They have to. I mean, that's got to be part of their political DNA. The Republican Party knows darn well when the deadline on this is. And the thing is that they're tantalizingly saying, well, we're going to hold a vote on it, but we want to look at this. We want to look at this. We want to look at this. And then the Democrats are saying, no, you don't have to look at it. Just vote for it. That does seem, I'm not going to go as far as saying it's hypocrisy or it's hypocritical, but I am going to say it's a little inconsistent. Because I really, you know, again, it's that optimism streak that I have that you guys are trying to chase out of me. But I really cannot understand.
You call it optimism. I call it naive.
Well, I can't understand. Yes, you do.
Yes.
And you never fail to remind me of that. I just cannot get it through my thick skull, maybe, that lawmakers in Lansing don't know the drop dead date already. That they have it in the back of their mind. They know darn well when they have to pass this thing. And they do. It just seems I'm not gonna call it hypocrisy because I don't think it is hypocrisy. But I think it's a little inconsistent to do it one way and the other. But you're right, there's two different situations, but I still think
the legislature in general behaves in an erratic manner.
Well, there's the understatement of the year.
And so of course things change from minute to minute when you got a bunch of yahoos who really have no clue what they're doing up there.
It does seem that way sometimes, doesn't it?
No, it seems that way all the time.
Well, they function sometimes.
George and I already had an argument on the phone, so let's get him on the air.
Hi, George.
Hi there.
I haven't heard you in a long time. Where you been?
Oh, I've been around.
Okay.
I just had a communication today, in fact, from my Senator Jones out of Grand Ledge. He is against this because the federal money runs out. And he's worried about what we're going to do when this federal money runs out a couple of years down the road, and we're stuck with this tab if we go into the plan.
George,
is something that Chuck Perricone mentioned on Friday, too.
Yeah, but George, what we're going to do at that point is go back to the way it is now, where 500,000 Michiganders get their health care provided free at the emergency room while the rest of us pay for those people. That's what's going to happen, George.
Did I misunderstand Obamacare, that next January or whatever it is, each person has to have insurance, or you get a penalty?
Well,
where's the penalty for these folks if they don't have insurance?
They just have to pay a tax. It's not a penalty.
Yeah.
Remember, the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court said it's a tax.
Well, then they should get insurance. They can go to the exchange and get a subsidy.
If our legislator won't set up the exchange, George. Our ne'er-do-well nincompoops in Lansing aren't doing anything about the exchange.
They're going to come down here and just hurt you.
What's that?
Federal exchange is in place if the states do not set up their own.
Well, Steve, I don't know about that, George. And think we got a break. Unfortunately, we got to run. I don't think there's no federal mandate that says that if you don't set up an exchange, they'll march in like, you know, Sherman's March to the Sea and set one up. Is there?
No, I believe there will be a federal exchange.
Okay.
That will be available, but it won't be customized to Michigan. And I believe that some of the smaller insurers who want to serve Michigan will be left out of any of that business.
Okay. Gal Pal of Kalamazoo says drop dead date is October 1st. That's according to the Blue Cross Blue Shield website.
Ah, well,
There we go. It's the trifecta. Oops. I didn't catch it. I know you're going to go in there and take it out, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'll give you the
I'm
number.
Also going to take your name off my Christmas card list.
I never got a Christmas card from you before.
I know. When you aren't this year either.
I'm not this year either. It is the trifecta, 590 WKZO, just ahead of CBS and local news in the second half of the trifecta, where we're going to talk about an interesting survey of schools in the state of Michigan from one of Roger's favorite places, and that being the Mackinac Center.
Oh, yeah, I trust this study.
And the article was done by a birthday girl, Julie Mack, who writes for MLive, celebrating a birthday today. So very happy birthday to Julie.
Well, if it's written by Julie.
Well, the article is, and then she's using the data that the Mackinac Center of Public School, the Mackinac Center's ranking of public schools across the state of Michigan. So it's an interesting comparison. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
And I've got some data up here, and it is kind of interesting.
Coming right after CBS News and a local news update.
Just to let you know, we are going to present your generation featuring 50-amp fuse. at the Overlander Bandshell in Portage this coming Saturday at 7:30. Tickets free in honor of the 50th anniversary celebration of the city of Portage. Your main location is the Portage Central Auditorium, but we're going to be presenting that concert.
And it's supposed to be a beautiful weekend this coming weekend.
Indeed.
Clear skies, 0% chance of rain, and low humidity.
Yes.
Much lower than our current 68 dew point.
Yep.
Which sucks. I just wanted to get that in.
Thank you. I'm glad you did. News is next. It is the Trifecta, 590 WKZL.
The Trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.